Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Kenya Gibson, the media maven, sitting in for Elizabeth Gearhart.
Are you one of the 2 in 5 Americans wanting to start your own business or already a business owner? Stay tuned. This show is about starting and growing your business. Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we learn why and how ordinary people just like you started and grew their businesses. And we also talk about the intellectual property that helps protect your innovations. And now it's time for Eric the Reptile Guy. So great to see you, Eric. Yeah, tell us what you've been up to lately.
Well, I've been on a TV journey for the last 2 years, since 2022. It's been a real journey.
Did you ever think you'd be on television?
Well, I was on television before a bunch of times when I was doing the animal show. So talking about content, like I never created my own content. I'm holding a giant alligator or a giant snake or some roaches in my hat or something crazy. People were always filming me doing that. But then I realized that that was not the way to go. It was actually encouraging people to do things like, you know, take selfies with animals. And so when I realized that it was wrong, I had to change. And I kept trying to change, but like not knowing exactly how to do it because I had no role model or somebody that had done that before. That's like the zoo saying, we're not going to have animals anymore. And that's that. That was me because I had 60 animals in my house, in my little apartment.
Yeah, I remember last time you came on the show, right? Mm-hmm. You brought this big yellow snake into the studio with you. And
that was the smaller of the big ones.
And our producer, Noah, ran down the hall. He said, we've got to talk to legal about this. I'm not sure you could be in here.
It's too late.
But it was too late at that point. And everybody in the studio came after the show and they were like fascinated by this snake, right?
But you know, all those animals were adopted. I could say that. But then, you know, after working with them for a while, I never brought my alligator to the studio, but I had an alligator, Wally. And I knew her since I was 19. And I'm 47 now, so I adopted her out 2 years ago. So it was like 23 years I had this alligator. And I brought her to a sanctuary down in Florida, and it was great. And she died. And then I said, you know, we had done shows and stuff together, but I said, you know, it's really important for people to understand about the importance of creatures, not as an entertainment value, but as a living thing, you know, understanding them in nature. And so I said, for a while, since I started my company in 2006, Eric's Reptile Ventures, I said, I'm gonna go do a TV show. And it first started when I went to Costa Rica. So I went to Costa Rica. I had financial freedom that first year. And I realized that I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, you know what? I've been working as a vet tech for 10 years. And I was like, I never made this much money. I was like, Janine, we want to go somewhere. She's like, yes, let's go to Costa Rica. And so me and my friend went to Costa Rica. It was September of 2006. And that was actually the year that Steve Irwin passed away. I remember that he died while we were in Costa Rica. And I remember that. And I remember saying to myself, I was like, man, that guy did what he loved his whole life. And he was so happy. So I'm sad that he died, but I'm also happy that he chose to live the life of his dreams and do what he loved, because most people don't. So for me, I saw that and I said, you know what? I'm going to continue on and live my life in that way. And I said, I want a TV show. While I was in Costa Rica, I said, people need to see these creatures. I was seeing frogs and snakes and parrots come to my window. It was incredible, the biodiversity all at once. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do a TV show. Didn't know how I was going to do it, but I already had started the process and making little videos and things. And I hadn't really published the videos, but I started making little videos. And I think in 2015, we got actually an Emmy Award in the environmental category and for filming with a guy named Chris Ware from Newsday, had followed me around for 10 months in my crazy house with the creatures. And then after he did that, I said, Chris, how are we going to do a TV show? I don't know. And so then it just kept on going. And then finally, I kept trying to get the TV show, but then, you know, I kept saying, I got to go to National Geographic or I got to go to Discovery Channel or somebody to do it for me. And in the end, I said, you know what? I said, I got to keep waiting for these people. I can't wait. I said, the environment's changing. This species going extinct all around the planet. There's things that people have not seen that they need to see that actually relate to climate change, like directly. When I speak about that, like amphibians going extinct in your local neighborhood. If there's no frogs in your neighborhood and you can't drink the water, then that's like a hot spot for the possibility of climate change in your direct immediate area. And so when I realized all these things, I said, okay, well, I want to do something that's going to not speak to the gloom and doom, but speak to the possibility of not species going extinct, but reversing it. And so the only way I could think of is like, well, you got to start putting the content out. So I didn't do it through social media, but I did it through the television show. And I said, I'm going to do it. So I created it. I went to Madagascar. We had built a school there. And I said, I got to go back to go to the school. And when we went to go to Madagascar, that particular moment was so awesome because that time was March of 2022. And I went there and I said, I'm going to do the TV show, but I didn't know how or what. But I said, I'm bringing my safari hat and I'm going to bring my outfit and I'm going to bring it. I'm going to do it. And when I got there, it was the first day there was two cyclones. And so we had to take a journey to get down there, but we got down there. And the morning I woke up in the bioresearch station, came downstairs and there was a big chameleon there. I'm like, oh my God, it's a chameleon. I'm running back upstairs. I'm gonna get my hat. I'm starting the show. Started filming. And that was the start of the Menghaiti television show. But at the time the show was called Let's Go. And I said, I'm gonna call the show Let's Go. Cause I kept saying, let's go. Let's go see this. Let's go see that. Let's go see the creatures. Let's go see everything. And we were doing all that, and it was great. And then actually, there's a famous actress named Juliette Binoche that happened to be there at the same time filming some movie. And I didn't know she was an Oscar-winning actress, but she is. And she still films movies. But her whole crew was there. So I saw the crew doing their work, and I was like, oh, my God, Eric, this is it. Like, you see them doing it, and you saw how they were filming. I was watching a director direct. I'm like, Eric, you could do this. I said, I don't have the money to pay all these directors and people, but I'm going to do it. And then that was the moment.
So what is the name of the show again?
Menghaiti.
So what does that mean?
Menghaiti is a word that I learned in 2010 when I was on a trip to Malaysia, and I decided to take a chance and go to Borneo because there was a flood there. It was during, I don't know if you remember, during that year was the time of the Haiti earthquakes had just happened like a couple weeks before or a week before. And I told my mother, I was like, Mom, I want to go to Haiti to go help. She's like, Eric, you can't get into Haiti. Just go on your trip. It's okay. Just go on your trip. So I went on the trip, got to Malaysia. Then I said, I want to see some more animals. I was in this big jungle, this a million year old rainforest. And it was like, you know, just walking through there, but you couldn't see any animals because it was so old that the animals were all hiding from you. So you couldn't see anything. So I was like, I'm going to see some animals. So anyway, I bumped into some guy from Florida and he goes, you got to go to Borneo. You got to go to the Sarawak up in the northern part of Malaysia in Borneo. But there's a flood there. So you should maybe, you know, just call them ahead. So I messaged them. I went and sent them an email. I said, look, my name's Eric the Reptile Guy. I said, it's just like that. I'm Eric the Reptile Guy. I study reptiles. I can work, you know, I can help you. You know, remove, you know, venomous snakes and things and cobras and, you know, crocodiles from the people's homes. Because when you have a huge flood situation, that's a big concern. I ended up talking to the guys. I went there, had the best time of my life. I mean, it was the first time that I ever connected with people on a level that these people all understood about the connection to creatures and how important they were and how important our lives were.
So I wanted mm-hmm. to ask you about yeah. that. I mean, a uh-huh. lot of people really like animals. They yeah. have pets.
Yeah.
Right? But very few people devote their lives to animals mm-hmm. like you have. What inspired you to take that path in life?
Well, Menghaiti was the word that means connection to all living things. Mm. That's what the people that saw me there said. They saw me doing that and catching animals, but they let me do it anyway because they said, we saw you connect. I'm not sure why I'm like that, but it's like an empathetic, you know, feeling because I think every creature has a life. You kind of remember like karma circles around. So I believe with that in every creature.
I agree with what you're saying yeah. in that like there is a connection, right? And life mm-hmm. is life and we should have respect yes. for that. In terms of like how you were as a kid, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm very curious about that because yeah. I just feel like most people don't grow up necessarily like loving animals. Like my sister is a vet, so she used to do all uh-huh. kinds of weird things like with dogs and all this stuff. So yeah. I kind of get the same like vibes off of you. Like mm-hmm. you probably were really connected to animals as a kid.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like originally it was the wild animals. I thought like when I go back in my childhood, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, my first pet was a fish. Mm-hmm. Then I got a turtle. Then I got a hamster. Then I got a turtle. But the truth was, is that I was at a daycare center. And I remember being like really young and like maybe 5 or 6 years old. And we were like out in Miss Allen's garden. I remember Miss Allen. She would always tell us, you know, help save our cucumbers. And so we would collect all the slugs and stuff and pick them up and like hold them. And we wouldn't kill them. We would just move them off the vegetables. That digging in the dirt and then seeing the creatures and then like looking at them. And then my first time finding a toad when I was 9 at camp. But then I wanted to take it home because I didn't want that feeling to end. And then seeing my first turtle, all in nature. And then I was also in special ed for a few years. That was tough because my parents didn't know what to do. And they were going to put me on Ritalin and some medication. But my mom's friend, Ms. Lambie, said, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Don't put him on medication because he's a good kid. And Ms. Lambie in her class had an alligator lizard. And she said, as soon as you saw that alligator lizard, I told you, if you don't behave, you can't come see the alligator lizard.
And like, you straightened right up.
And I straightened right up.
Yeah.
And I got out. But the animals really saved me. And in fact, to get me out of special ed, I had a National Geographic about turtles. And that my counselor said, look, we'll give you the National Geographic. He got me a subscription. And then when I opened it up, that first issue was January 1986. It had a whole spread about turtles. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, the turtles. And so my mom got me all these subscriptions and animals, and I would go out and want to see animals all the time.
You must be a vegetarian.
I am a vegetarian, but not because of that.
No?
No, it didn't start like that. I was a bodybuilder for a while, and I ate meat.
That's so interesting.
not red meat, but I ate, I didn't associate the meat that we saw in the store with my creatures.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? But then in 2012, I was in the Philippines. And when I was leaving there on the plane, I met a yogi and he asked me a question. He goes, you do animal shows, right? I said, yeah. And he goes, and why do you eat them? And I was like, what? I was like, I never thought of that. I was like, what do you mean?
And that's so meta.
Sorry. Yeah. right in mid-career, right?
Yeah, I was like, what? Wow. And then he said, well, I challenge you to become a vegetarian for 21 days. I was like, 21 days, 3 weeks? Okay. And then the first thing I said was, well, can I at least eat salmon? He said, no. He's like, vegetables.
Drew?
I love your stories. Like, yeah. They come from such a real and authentic place now. While you were talking, I did my due diligence and trolled on you on social media. So you have two people here who believe in telling your story and the power of telling your story. Those things, your trips, going to Malaysia, literally pulling out venomous snakes and not being afraid, but connecting with them on a one-to-one level.
Mm-hmm.
You've just blown my mind. And I want you to take that. If we can just do like a real coaching session right now with us two, if that's cool, I want you to take that. Every single day, tell that story to your phone every day.
Okay.
Ed, what would you say if you were sitting with him right now?
I mean, that came from the heart. That didn't come from someone forcing you to do that stuff. But hearing the stories and the infrastructure of where you are today is neat. It's cool. It's vulnerability. Yeah. It's, wow, this is where he started.
Yeah. Right. And you had an apartment that was like Jumanji.
Oh, gosh. I did have an apartment like
60 Jumanji. Animals?
Never again. Never again. It was, you know, the animals themselves suffered. I didn't see it, but you don't see animals suffering until you see them in the wild. And that's why for our television show now for Menghaiti, every season, the animals are free. And that was the most important thing to me. I was like, you know what? I said, don't touch any animals. When we were in Madagascar filming the first season, I told my guys right away, guys, no touching animals, period. The animals began to come to us. It was incredible. I can't even explain how it really happened. But if you watch some of the episodes, you'll see.
Please tell us where people can find you and your amazing television show.
Sure. Just go to pbs.org and just go to Menghaiti. It's spelled Menghaiti. And you can go to pbs.org and just click on episodes and you can see the 6 episodes that are there now.
And you're filming the second season now?
The second season's done.
The second
season's coming out this fall. We're filming the third season now.
That sounds great.
Yes.
We're all looking forward to it.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 31 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinators Alicia Morrissey and Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.